Hello, and welcome to the Tavern Chat Podcast. I am your host, Eric Tenkar, your bartender in the OSR, your main proprietor at the Tenkar's Tavern blog. And this is one of our fireside chats. One of our designers and makers has joined us, and we're here to talk about his latest release. Courtney, welcome.
Hi, it's good to see everybody.
Yeah, the room's getting a little full here as we're recording this. That's very pleasant. That's very nice. Well, I'm going to include a link to Courtney's initial fireside chat so you all can get a bigger background on Courtney and basically watch Courtney interview me at one point. I think that was probably the highlight that people have pointed out to me. But today, we actually have a mission. So first, before we delve into our topic of the day, Courtney, give our listeners a little bit of a background on what you've already published and what you already have out there for them to look at.
Well, thanks, Tenkar. I have been a published illustrator before. I have illustrations in Petty Gods and Dark Druids. But this is the first time I've ever had a company, you know, take a manuscript from me and put it into print in the traditional way. So I guess that makes me officially both a published illustrator and author. And the latest thing that came out, the thing we're talking about here today, is The Adventure Conquer King, Eyrie of the Dread Eye. It's a mid to high level module. I spend a lot of time on my blog talking about how the things people produce aren't good, and now I've produced something. So if you're curious to whether I can do any better than those I give a hard time, Eyrie of the Dread Eye is going to be where you want to check that out. I also want to say that I have a lot of personal projects that I work on. They're available on DriveThruRPG, zines, Mega Dungeon, compilations of my blog work. I published a very popular, well-selling book called On the Non-Player Character. So, yeah, you guys should check all that stuff out.
See now, when you're talking about, initially you do stuff, I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I've known for some of the stuff that I've had published in Petty Gods and such, but the reality is, you are also an author. It doesn't make a difference if you publish it yourself. Your stuff is well-read. Your blog is well-read, so It isn't a shock that you have, a copper seller up on RPG Now a little bit over a week. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's only been out for like 7 days, I think. The print on demand is coming up like in 48 hours or something. We're waiting on the clearance for it, so it should be print on demand soon. There's also a fifth edition version. If you play fifth edition, and it's not just changing the stats, sections of it were rewritten to match more of the style of gameplay of 5e. It's a full conversion. It was written with 5e in mind. So no matter which system you get it for, it'll be designed for what you're going to be doing at the table.
Now, what gave you the idea to write this? I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, Alex didn't say, hey, I got this project for you, this is what I want you to write. I'm assuming that you came up with this. So.
Yeah, you know, I really like some classic D&D modules. And one of my favorite, the one that I think really contains the most surprises in sort of extemporaneous play is Forbidden City. I've always liked it. I've liked the theme, the setting, the danger level. It's a great adventure for mid to high level characters. And so this was designed and conceived as sort of an homage to that. It focuses on large, detailed cutaway and isometric maps like that I'm known for doing on my Twitch stream and on my blog. And we used those as a basis and sort of developed how it fits into the Aran Empire cosmology and the sort of building threat that these adventure modules address. So it's fun. It was cool.
So it's actually set in the default setting too. So it isn't just a
It's intimately tied into the Aran Empire. I made sure we spent a lot of time in conference to make sure that it matches. I mean, my initial draft was a little gonzo. I remember him getting me a chart that was like, over here, is where normal adventures are, and way over here in the corner is where you are, and we need to get you down to the left. You know, and like a picture, he drew it out and everything. So like we spent a lot of time to make sure that it ties right in with the Iron Empire and the setting books. And like if you're into it and it's a great Byzantine, you know, Bronze Age, super cool setting, it's definitely tied into the module and the structure and the people and everything else. It's cool.
Damn, dude. I can't believe anybody was able to, like, you know, rein you in.
Well, money. I'm not going to publish this. It was not if we don't make it fit. So.
No, I understand. I understand that part, but still, I give Alex a lot of credit because your grittiest creativity, from what I've read on your blog and otherwise, has always been a little bit. A lot of Gonzo, I should
say. Yeah. My default setting was like Mystara BX, and you know they have a flying gnome city. Like the campaigns I ran most in second edition were Spelljammer. I just sort of do that Gonzo, but taken seriously. You know, like all that crazy stuff is going on, but in the moment you take it really deadly seriously.
Right. Well, it's like Gonzo, but scientific Gonzo. I mean, it's. This is the world. It isn't just like I'm throwing this in because, you know, we need a few.
Demon, it's like the one-offs don't disappear. Workers.
Right. You know, this is it. This is part of the setting. So all right. So now that, of course, leads to the more important questions. How much Gonzo snuck in?
Do what? I didn't hear that.
How much of your innate Gonzo snuck into this?
A lot. we came up with some justifications and some reasons and squirreled some of it more away inside, you know, because Adventure Conquer King of the Iron Empire, the creator, Alex, he's the kind of guy that would run a spreadsheet for everybody who was killed in a flood just so he could tell all their family relations, right? So he wanted to make sure that the things that I added in didn't disrupt the game, and they don't. Like it's all thematic with it makes a lot of sense within. I don't want to give anybody any spoilers. You know, if you're interested, it's only $5. It's available on DriveThruRPG, and there's going to be a print on demand version soon too.
Well, you don't want to give anybody any spoilers, but I'm actually looking at the page and I'm looking at the description here, and there's a lot of dramatic hooks going on in the background there, which I like because. You never know how much of this stuff is actually legitimate hook or just what's been told over the millennia, and this is how we're looking at the past. But it looks like you got a lot going here.
If your listeners don't know and you haven't been following the latest developments in the Iron Empire, each of the modules is really introducing fundamental things. This is a module for character level 6 to 8. And we spent the longest amount of time talking about just like what a high level party looks like in Axe and what to expect from that. And at that level, you have to have challenges that are a little more threatening. And so all of it, you know, moves forward those things that are like the little teasers in the Axe rulebook. Right. All the recent releases each have a huge chunk of those secrets and that stuff in it, expanding the world and getting the characters to have more influence and control and power as the things change inside the world. It's exciting stuff.
So now how many adventures are planned in it? I mean, I'm assuming that this is your piece. There are other authors.
Yes, there are. I think the great answer is when they all sell really well, we get more of them. So it's really like if you want sequels, buy the things that are out now, and it'll make perfect sense to get more.
Well, again, I mean the fact that you hit Comper on this and.
And very quickly, yeah. It was exciting. And
like It's like 9 days, I think, if my math is right, looking at this. That is.
Oh yeah, we hit copper last week. Like it was very quick.
But here we are 9 days into it. You're probably getting close to silver on this, and that's nothing to sneeze at. I mean that, and actually $4.99 for a PDF that's 55, 56.
Yeah, the print on demand coming will round out those numbers, and so we know what they look like. Yeah, I'm very thankful, is what I am. You know, and really, first of all, there's way more than $5 of content and value in here. And secondly, this is a tool. This is a thing that not only can be entertaining for people to read, because I've already had people comment on some of the stuff they found in it, but you can take it and use it right at the table. It really, you know, like I was concerned because I'd seen Dwemer Mount, and when we were talking about this project, I was like, you know, I'm going to really want to do some set design, you know, like make it so that the module is more useful to the person running the game. And so we worked out the format we have where, you know, most of the text is organized into the different sections so that you can tell at a glance. And then, of course, my maps, you know, show the DM what they need to run the module without needing to reference a bunch of stuff. So I really feel that, you know, it's moved forward some of the design stuff in that area, and that even if you are just if you are just reading it for fun, you're going to find it entertaining. But also, it's going to be really easy to sit down and play with it, which is really what I want. I want people to play with the stuff I make.
Well, and that's great because, you know, actually, I had a discussion with one of my recent firesides, and we were just talking about the investment that it takes a GM to sit down, even with a pre-written adventure, to sit down and run it. And that, you know, the investment on the DM side is always going to be more than the player side because it's just more prep work. But if you're having something that you can sit down with and is easy, you know, it's pre-written, but it's easy to run because you've given all the tools to the DM, you solved a lot of issues right there.
Yeah, I really was concerned about their ability to access and reference information. So, you know, there's several different sections in the module, and the players have a lot of freedom about how they, you know, interact within and through those sections. And then everything is well labeled and visible on the map. And then each section is split into really distinct areas. And I think we've really tried to push the usability. It's definitely where I think a lot of the innovation in the industry is going with things like Sean's Mothership, you know, Sean's game. You see a lot of graphic design being implemented. Like, that's a big portion of BX Essentials is the organization, right?
Oh, it's definitely, it's presenting it in a way.
It's Swords and Wizardry.
Yeah, well, it presents it in a way that's easier to digest. You take a game that, or a rule system that, for the time, was certainly game-changing, but we now have 30 plus years of experience in how to better present these rules. Same rules.
Yeah. Put a light source on the map. Like, that's what I'm, you know, like we're really talking about doing. It's just making things more useful. Like, look at it and say, how can we make this a better product? So, if you're looking for, you know, like how I visualize doing that, you should check out Eyrie of the Dread Eye.
I think I'm going to have to pick up a copy of this. It looks
well, I hope I, so.
I own everything else that Autark has put out. I mean, I'm actually kind of waiting for the print version because I do like my
Jedi. Yeah, me too, obviously. Like, I want to put it on my shelf so I can show to people that come into my apartment. Like, look at this.
Look what I did.
There aren't so many. There's a few perks or whatever, but like it's a hard job being an independent creator, and that's one of the perks is you're like, look at this paper thing somebody put my name on.
Yep, go to a convention and say, hey, if you want, I'll even sign it for you.
Yeah, it's true.
Nothing. It's a beautiful thing, man. I enjoy doing it. Now, all right, so I think I know you well enough to know that you must have something else coming, at least from yourself, if not somebody else, because you are recording. You have too much fucking energy, dude,
yeah,
to not have something else almost on a doorstep.
You're not wrong. I'm in the 72-hour approval window for my latest book up on Amazon, and Drive-Thru RPG and Lulu. It's going to be called Level Up. So that's not available now, but it will be available by Friday, maybe Monday at the latest, depending. And then print version will be coming soon. It's a gaming book of lists. It's very much targeted for not you or me, but you know, we have nephews and cousins and wives. And so I when I was a kid, the things that entertained me were, you know, like it would answer a lot of my questions, book of lists or book of whatever, you know, like the scientific book of reptiles or something, and you flip through it and you'd get like a lot of information. I feel like when I talk to a lot of people, there's this you know, like a lot of gamers, they're hesitant, they have anxiety about what they don't know about D&D. And so I kind of wanted to create like a fun book that has both a lot of clever ideas, like what's in a dungeon cell or what are the different types of magical currency, you know, but also a lot of, you know, information in the list, like what are the top 10 flail snails classes, and then explaining about, you know, like what flail snails is, and the idea that you can take a character from table to table, kind of opening up people's eyes when the only thing they've seen is maybe Critical Role or played, you know, 5e or whatever. So trying to get a broad platform for that, putting it on Amazon, which is not normally where I sell stuff, so hopefully we'll get some traction there, and it'll be available through the normal channels, Drive-Thru RPG and Lulu, definitely within a couple of days, the PDF and then the print in a couple of weeks, whenever we get it approved from all those different places.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you that you're going to have to like ping me and let me know when this releases. So
I mean, I'm not quiet about my releases. I tend to.
Dude, I never said you were quiet, but I don't always like catch all the various postings going on in the OSR, because there's many of them.
Oh, it's crazy. Like, it's a deluge. Like, I keep some tabs on, like, news sources or whatever, but just the amount of content coming out, trying to just stay tapped into it. I think a large part of the service I provide is I'm just telling people who don't have time about what's going on, right? Like, on my blog and stuff, because it's just, it's seriously, it's, for me, it's heaven. It's like I get to read Dragon Magazine every day. But I some people are, like, down on it, and I'm like, no, this is the world I wanted when I was a kid, right?
Oh, God, yeah. If I could have, you know, I used to buy every magazine I could find back then, whether it was Dragon, Space Gamer, Fantasy Gamer, Different Worlds, all this. This was your internet back then. This was your new ideas. This was your house rules. This was your additional classes. And now we have that via the internet. The problem is, you know, sometimes it's just so much stuff going through my social media feed that I don't.
It's no longer anything you can see all of. It's very much like something you have to dip your toe in and catch a thing. And that's why network effects and talking about things that are, you know, are important or good or that are going on are so important, because they bring it to the surface. I wanted to say that we didn't talk about that before. You just kind of picked me on the spot and asked me what I had coming out. And it just so happens that I did have that coming out soon.
I knew you had something coming out beyond it. Courtney, I might not know everything going on in the OSR, but I do know the creators, and you're one that never stops. And especially once you get going, you're someone that you're in your groove. And I was like, there's no way. I didn't think it'd be that close to release. I didn't think it would be a few days out. But I certainly knew you had something going on there.
Yeah, it's fully illustrated, by the way. I think it's about 60 pages, and every page has an illustration on it. There's also a full-page illustration showing all the different versions of D&D and listing some of the most popular clones. Like, I think it's very, very useful for anybody. You know, if you know somebody who likes D&D or they're curious about it, it's definitely targeted right there. And, you know, it's a fun book for people who already play a lot, because it's definitely on the lighter side, something more entertaining to read. I definitely tried for a more humorous, like, you know, my motto was Shel Silverstein's Where the Sidewalk Ends. Like, I wanted to have funny illustrations and cool articles and stuff, so it should be very good. Thank you for asking about it, man.
Again, I would be remiss in what I do if I did not throw that question out. I would have been like, it's like, how did you not like ask the ground ball? Why didn't you ask Courtney what else is in the mix? I mean, I could really dig now and say, so after this coming weekend. What is next after that course?
It's funny that you say that, because we're working on getting Mega Dungeon 4 out the door. We've got one of the maps done, and we're finishing up a second one, and we've got five or six more. And then we'll be laying that out, and we hope to have that out in the start of April. But you know how that goes. It won't be that early. It'll be the
beginning
is delayed. But we'll struggle. We'll try and get there.
See? I do know my people, though, right?
Well, you know, like, I did the blog and all the work and a lot of this stuff for years while I had a full-time job. And now that I'm no longer having to go somewhere else, it's just like, you know, I think the hardest, if you just get up and you come sit down and get to work, then it all just kind of flows from there. The problem is that if you have any delays in getting to the desk to get the work done due to life, that's where the difficulties get in. But you know, like if I'm here, man, I'll work 15 hours. It's not like work. It's what I'd be doing.
And that's something that it's a beautiful thing about this whole, I don't want to call it a hobby because that does it a disservice, but it
community.
This community that we are a part of, when you can invest the time in it that you want to, like for me, I don't have to worry as much about the monetary give back that I get from it because, again, I'm retired, I have a pension. But to be in your position where you can create and publish and have income coming through and say, hey, I've become professional. I mean, I'm not just doing this as a hobby, as a side gig, but this is my profession.
Well, I have an art degree. I had always intended at some point to be an artist, to engage in art full time. It's just that dungeons are in my pattern, my soul, wherever it is, like that calls to me, right? Like I'm in the right place for that. And there's a, you know, look at the Critical Role Kickstarter. There's 7 million now. You watch it, it's like a ticker. It's just going up.
You know what? I refuse to look at it and see where it's at because.
Well, I mean, but that means that there's 20 million people out there that are gamers, right? Like, there's
that is true.
You're not speaking to a small audience anymore. Like, you know, what was the when Dragon Magazine was capping out circulation? It was 100,000, 112,000. Like, you know, I've got posts that have that many hits. Like there's a lot more people playing D&D now than, you know, like than were in the past. And so, like anything, there's a demand for it. And I think communities coming up about whatever they're into, and I think they're everywhere. I saw somebody talking on Reddit about how their community drama was they were rock polishing was their hobby, and some girl found a new way to polish rocks and she wouldn't share the secret information. Like the fact that there's now, you know, an interactive fiction community and a D&D community and a cosplay community, I think that's good stuff. I think that's definitely the way of the future, is us being in those kind of communities.
I'm just thinking about the rock polishing, because the only rock polishing method I knew was always the noisy ass tumbler with
the one they use the dice for.
Yeah. It's just like,
but I mean, all communities have their drama, was the point. No, I mean, it's good that they're out there now, and we can get, you know, like 70 years ago, if you had a hobby, you'd get in touch with somebody by mail, right? Like now it's right. Just there's whole communities around it.
And it's funny because you look back to early D&D and there was drama. There was drama in the mid and late 70s, obviously with Arneson and Gygax, and later on with like Gygax and Lorraine. But we were never.
It comes along with being people, I think, right?
Yeah. Like, but we were never privy to it because we didn't have the internet, which breaks down all these barriers and gives you real time drama, effectively. I mean, you know, before you had to wait to like maybe Dragon Magazine would give you a hint at some behind the scenes drama if you read into it. Now you go on the internet and you can watch. You know, like Frank Metzler trolling the whole community, but maybe he killed me about the DNC. He got me on that one.
Well, I mean, like, it's crazier than you think. Like, you there was a forum exchange between Monty Cook and Tracy Hickman where they were fighting about narrative, and this stuff is not new. Like, if you go back and you read, you'll be like, oh, I know all these people. We've been doing this for decades, because we have. You know, like I said, I don't know if I mentioned it last time I was on the show here, but I've got posts still up on Rec Games FRP Advocacy from Usenet, right? Like, I've been talking about games for a long time. You know, like, that's what it is. It's always people, and it's always drama, but that doesn't matter. You know, I'm glad to be working, and I think that there's, you know, it's fun to go on DriveThruRPG because there's so much cool stuff, and I don't want less of it. I just want the stuff that people are making to be better, which is why I talk about set design and, you know, what I'm hoping to show people if they're curious. How that looks, you know, $5 is not much. They could own a copy probably before they finish this podcast.
That is true, and it probably costs less than a trip to Starbucks.
I know. It's Eyrie of the Dread Eye and DriveThruRPG. It's even on the top sellers under $5 list. It's right there on the front page.
Oh, see, I didn't even realize. See, that's the whole thing, too, with this RPG Now, DriveThru, and RPG Now is wrapping up.
Yeah, it's done. I think
it might be done already. I haven't even checked.
It's harder to get up on the big page. That's a logistical thing. Like, it's difficult to get more exposure on DriveThruRPG. So I'm happy. I'm very thrilled that it sold. It sold well. And I hope it continues to sell well, guys. I certainly would appreciate it if you guys picked up a copy. Yeah.
See, folks, this is what you. This is that's how you support your community, and hopefully, Courtney, there are more releases in the future, whether it's from Watchark or others. Because
I am working on a project that I've received in advance for, and that's all I'm going to say about it now. And then Mega Dungeon is moving forward. We got issue 4 coming out the door, and then there's stuff next week, and then the print versions of all this stuff. It's an exciting time. Yeah.
So in other words, again, just to prove a point, not only did I know you had at least one project in the works, but apparently you have three.
Yeah, I know, right? There are three active things. I have a notebook, and then another, the Newman Hollow book, and then I'm doing all this stuff.
You see, folks? So if you want to know somebody who's going to be extremely prolific this year in getting the work published, I would point at Courtney with like two fingers right now and say this man.
Yeah, you know, living indoors is a tremendous motivator.
I am quite sure it is. And having spent time literally hours at a time at points looking over your blog for inspiration, I binge it. Yours isn't where I go on a daily or weekly basis, but when I do hit it like on a seasonal basis, I'm there for hours because it's usually, you know, a little bit of a rabbit hole as I start going, oh, wait, now this works with, oh, that's cool. And
the best thing I ever did was put that little widget at the end that was like, go check out these other posts, because it lets you just fall into a rabbit hole of that. And you know, there's an index there. You don't have to go in blind. You can find what you're looking for.
Folks, don't trust me. Don't bother with the index. Go in blind. It's more fun. And you experience Courtney's blog, Hack and Slash, the way it's meant to be. Which is pretty much like a hex crawl.
Yeah. I mean, the internet itself is sort of like a mega dungeon, right? I'm very thankful, you know, like you don't know whether if, like, I don't have enough experience to speak of whether it's just hard work that gets you there or there's some element of luck. But I do put a lot of hard work into the blog, and I'm so thankful. You know, it's not only about making a lifestyle for me. It's when I get an email from somebody who's clearly gone through that loop, and it's 3 a.m. and they just want to tell me that I've changed the way they've thought about something and they're excited about gaming. That's what it's about. I just thought about the way when I read blogs like the Alexandrian or Grognardia, how they made me feel. I wanted to make other people feel that way.
Well, I think you're succeeding, man. I'm very happy to see that.
Well, I appreciate that.
All right. Well, I think at this point, We shall wrap up today's episode. I am going to include links to Courtney's blog, Courtney's latest release in the show notes here. There will be an affiliate link. So yes, if you happen to buy Courtney's latest, she'll be putting 25 cents in the coppers, the tavern's coffers. Jesus. But again, Courtney, thank you, man. This is always fun.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on and so quick. I really appreciate it. You know, like, it's touch and go, this kind of lifestyle. So I really appreciate all the support I'm getting from everywhere in the community. And thanks, man. Hey, everybody, you know, check out my work. I'm on a quest. The quest is Living Indoors. And you can help by checking out Eyrie of the Dread Eye, $4.99. I mean, it's so little, you won't even notice. And then you'll have this awesome thing and you'll be talking about it for years.
Yeah, and if you buy a Starbucks coffee, I mean, how long before that's going through your system and you're already on a toilet?
Like, this about 6 hours.
Yeah. This you actually have something that you can use. So forget your Grande, whatever they fucking call it. That's where I fail, because I don't drink Starbucks.
Grind your own beans, make your own coffee, and take the money you save.
I would probably grind my own coffee before going and getting coffee at Starbucks. I'm not a coffee drinker, but
I am, and that's what I do. I'm
somebody who used to, you know, brew my own beer for a while, and it's just, there's something special about that. So yeah, well, it's just, you know, hey, we're folks in the gaming industry. We like creating stuff, so we understand that too.
Yeah, that's what the origin of it was, you know, like reading the player's handbook and then making up lists and new races and what their level limits were and, you know, drawing pictures of the Gauntlet video game. I mean, you know, that's what I was doing as a kid. Geez. I was doing fantasy stuff, so it was good times.
There you go. Well, again, thank you, Courtney, for joining me. And thanks to everybody in our little live audience here. It's always fun to have you all. As usual, stay safe, be well, God bless. Roll those dice, and I will talk with you all tomorrow.